Lord, I pray that as we open your word today, you would open our eyes and our hearts to be able to see wonderful things in your law. Wonderful things about your grace. Wonderful things about your truth. Wonderful things about your love for us. So give us, again, eyes to see and hearts to receive and feet that'll live this out. By your power, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're working our way through the book of Exodus. We're in the middle of, literally the middle of the Ten Commandments today. And just a reminder that the reason that God gave us the commandments was to make us aware or conscious of our sin. And for those of us that, somebody that doesn't know Jesus, that's bad news, because when you become aware of your sin, you realize that you're in big trouble, that God's wrath is upon you, and that you deserve hell. That's the bad news. But the good news is that Jesus kept these Ten Commandments perfectly. And then he offers you his gift of perfection through his finished work on the cross. He stood on the cross as your substitute, and by faith in him, his perfection can be accredited to your account. And so when God looks at you, he sees you as perfect. If you're in Christ, he sees you as keeping these Ten Commandments perfectly. But you only have to spend about a minute in them to realize, honestly, how much you've broken them over the course of your life. So the commandments, they show us what God is like and how we're not like him. They point out our sin and our need for a Savior. And then after we're saved, we're not saved by keeping these commands, but in honor of God, these commands show us a way in which to walk that brings him glory, a walk by faith. So we've looked at the first four thus far. We looked at no other gods, no images of God, no misuse of the name. And last week, we looked at remember the Sabbath day, that day of rest. Today, we're going to move on to the next category. There's actually two categories in these 10, and the first four are about loving God, so our vertical relationship with him, and the last six are about our horizontal relationships with each other, about loving others. And so we move into the second category with command number 5. And it reads this way, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is a command about healthy family relationships that are at the foundation of God's way of living. This is a basic for the life that God's people were to live. And who is this command for? Is it for just 12 and under people? Or is it for everyone? Yes. Yeah, it's for everyone. Well, for all of God's people, let's put it that way, because it was written for Israel. God's basically saying, here's how I want you to live. And this word honor, it has this idea of respect attached to it. It's really connected to the word glory. And so when you think about the word honor, it has this idea of that it's heavy, it's weighty. When you honor something, you're saying it has great value. And so God takes this, makes this command, it's a very serious command, the honoring of your parents. And then he points back to the promise of giving the people the land, a promise that he made to Abraham 400 years earlier. Now, at the time that they wrote this, they're standing, or the time that God gave this to Moses, Moses is up on Mount Sinai. They haven't made it to the promised land yet. That's still yet to come. But he's reminding them, when you honor your father and mother, God's going to bless them so that they can live long in the land that God is giving them. Now, if you remember last week when we talked about the Sabbath, there was a penalty for those who broke the Sabbath command. What was the penalty? It was death. Yeah. Death. Well, guess what the penalty is for dishonoring your parents? Well, you'll see it there in the next chapter, Exodus chapter 21. God says, anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Which is pretty serious. The idea of curse is the opposite of honor. It means disrespectful. Whereas honor is weighty, a curse means it's light. It's not taken seriously. It's something that's trivial. And so when we look at our parents in a trivial, non-serious, disrespectful kind of way, it's the same. It's like a curse. And God says that when someone did that in that community, they were to be put to death. This command is, and the penalty for it, are mentioned a few times in the scriptures beyond Exodus chapters 20 and 21. So it's repeated. When I was a kid, the one thing that I dreaded my mom to say was, you just wait till your dad gets home. Because I knew. My dad worked second shift. He worked a swing shift. And so every other week, he was never home in the evenings. And so my mom, she put up with the three of us kids, and when she was beyond her limit of patience, that was the phrase that would come out. And then somehow we all just straightened up. It just worked like magic. She probably should have started with that phrase to begin with. But what did we know was going to happen when Dad got home? Well, there was going to be the penalty, the punishment for not listening to Mom. I don't think that Jewish kids ever probably heard their parents say this, because if they wanted to live to see tomorrow, they would be obedient, right, and honor their parents. They certainly wouldn't want to entertain the circumstances that would result in this kind of a penalty. And so this idea of the penalty that comes from dishonoring your parents is carried through into this Proverbs as well. The writer of the Proverbs says, if someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Which is just another way of saying, in kind of a poetic way, that you'll lose your life. A little later in Proverbs, the writer gives a not so poetic way of saying what would happen if you dishonor your parents. Chapter 30, it says, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Not so pleasant. So apparently, even giving a dirty look to your parents resulted in a punishment that was not so pleasant. And so overall, over the course of the Old Testament, it paints for us this picture of sons and daughters that honor their parents or face the deadly consequences. And why? Why should we honor our parents? Well, because this is God's way. This is God's plan. This is God's order for the family. It's God's way to bring blessing on his people. So, one question that comes out of this, do believers today need to obey this command? Do believers in Jesus need to honor their father and mother? Well, yes, but not for salvation. Not following a set of rules is not going to save us. Only faith in Christ can save us. But believers need to obey this command not for salvation, but for sanctification. Honoring God in this way, honoring our parents, are the good works that God has given us to do that are the fruit of a life that has been saved by grace. This command, like 9 of the other commands in the 10 commandments, is repeated in the writings of the New Testament. You see, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writing to the church there, and he says, children, Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. This comes in a section where Paul is speaking to husbands and wives and employers and employees, and he also speaks to kids, to children. And then he restates the command from Exodus chapter 20, and he kind of does a combination of the command there in Exodus and in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And so this is written to believers, or to believers, and therefore it does then apply to us today. And so this idea of honoring parents, it was not only a big deal in the Old Testament, but it's a big deal in the New Testament as well. Certainly the penalty in the New Testament is not as severe. You don't lose your life if you dishonor your parents. However, listen to what Paul said when he wrote to Timothy. He's giving Timothy some warnings about false teachers that are going to be coming and amongst his people and to watch out for them. And he gives Timothy this list, this horrible list of sins in which will mark the last days. Look what's included in the list. Paul says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then Paul says something really interesting. He says, have nothing to do with such people. Did I read that right? Have nothing to do with such people. Now, certainly, we're to proclaim the gospel to them. We're to try to help them see the truth. But someone who's claiming to be a follower of Jesus and yet living like the devil, we're to have nothing to do with those people. And that includes someone who openly dishonors their parents. So watch out for that person. Don't be in fellowship with someone who is dishonoring to their parents. Well, what does this honoring of parents, what might it look like? What could it look like? And I'd like to give you five suggestions that I find in the scriptures. There's probably more, but I'll give you five for today. And that's for those of you that do have parents. Just a quick question here amongst those in the room this morning. How many of you still have parents that are on planet Earth? So some of us, about maybe 40% of us or so. So for those of you that don't have parents, here's what I would ask as I read through and work through this material this morning. I would ask you to pray for those who do have parents. Pray for us that we would be able to live out these principles. So your parents may not be here anymore. Hopefully they're with Jesus. But in the meantime, if you could pray and encourage those of us that do have parents, that we would do the hard work of honoring our parents in this life. And so that together as the church, we can help one another even in this command. And so I would suggest that the first way that honoring your parents, what that looks like, is obedience. This is one of my favorites right now, as a matter of fact. So listen to what Paul writes to the church in the Colossians. He says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, certainly, this is written more towards kids that are still at home. It's not written to adults. This is more so toward the kids, those that have not left the nest yet, those that are not adults. And for this particular verse, I did an in-depth study I took the Greek letters of this verse, turned them upside down and read them backwards, and there's a special message here. It says, Isaiah S., please clean your room. Now, I don't know what that means, but if there's somebody here that that's special for, it seems like there's a special message here in the scriptures for you today. So let me repeat that. Isaiah S., please clean your room. This is a hard verse, and this is a hard concept, because we've all made the statement, my parents don't know anything. How many of you have ever said that, at least under your breath? I know I have at one point or another, at least thought it. What do my parents know? They don't know. Because when you're between the ages of 13 and 18, you are one of the wisest humans on the planet. You know everything. And what could your parents possibly know? Especially when they ask you to do simple things. And yet, here we find it in Scripture. And so, if you are a believer in Christ, then you must take this passage seriously. Your testimony includes your obedience and submission to appropriate parental authority. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. I thought I'd get a few more amens from this section over here, but didn't this morning. The second area I would suggest that honor might look like, and honoring your parents, is this idea of respect. And so this, as you read this passage, you realize this is not spoken to someone who's under the age of 18. This is written to someone who's older, an adult child. So listen to the proverb. The writer says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Amen. What does respect look like? Well, in some regards, it looks like listening. Listening. Listen to your father. Listen to your mother, even when they're a bit old and cranky. Listen to them. Because listening takes time, and time means love. Even when dad tells you the same story for the 101st time, listen. Even when mom's a little cranky, and you're still to offer her respect, even though you may not agree with what they have to say. But we do have to be respectful, because not only is it honoring to our parents, but it's honoring to God. Third way that I would suggest that we live out this life of honoring our parents for the Lord is this idea of care. And this is a hard one for us as Americans, because it's very inconvenient and it's a financial burden. Sometimes it's a direct blow to the American dream. Remember, retirement's not a biblical concept. It's an American concept. And so in Israel, there was no nursing homes. Families had to step up and care for their elderly parents, no matter what the cost or the time or the finances. And this is a way to honor them. Listen to what Paul says as he writes to Timothy. But he says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, they should first of all, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. And then a few verses later, he says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Paul's reminding those that are reading this, as your parents and grandparents have cared for you, Now it's your turn to step up and care for them. Paul uses strong language that describes those that selfishly choose otherwise. It's not a matter of finances, it's a matter of faith, Paul says. I think it was Phyllis Diller that said, "Be nice to your kids, they will choose your nursing home." But what does God's word say? God's word commands us to care for our parents and grandparents. And to not do so is not a matter of finances, it's a matter of faith. It's a serious matter. Well, another area that we should care for or honor our parents is the idea of forgiveness. Parents make mistakes, a lot of them. So already this morning, I've already screwed up as a parent. Already before I was even out the door this morning to come here, I've already messed up. And so, if you have a parent, consider Paul's challenge. Paul says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." I guarantee you, your parents made mistakes and will make mistakes. And so honoring them is also forgiving them for where they've messed up. Forgiveness is hard, but it's necessary as Christians. Raising kids is hard. Mistakes are made, and sometimes they're huge mistakes. But we honor our father and mother by living this out, no matter how old we are, no matter how old our parents are. And what I realize the longer I parent is the more compassion I have for my parents and what they had to put up in raising my siblings and me. We need to be a people who forgive even our parents for the mistakes they've made. Well, the last one I have for you today is what could honoring our parents look like? Well, simply love. Love. Now, this is something that Jesus said. He wasn't talking necessarily about your parents, but he said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Now, certainly there's been times in your life where you felt like your parent was your enemy, when they just didn't understand, they didn't get it, they didn't know what they were talking about, and their punishments were more like persecutions to you. And Christ calls you to love and pray for them. Now, the reality is, I know, because you've trusted me, I know some of your stories. I know your parents have been actual, literal enemies at times in what they have done or allowed to happen in your life. And yet Jesus makes the call that we are to love them and to pray for them. Again, you don't have to agree with or affirm those who have harmed you in some way, but we do need to love and pray for them. And so what does that love look like? Well, I would suggest 1 Corinthians 13 is a good place to start. Paul says love is patient. I'm going to just ask you to apply this to thinking about your parents, when you're loving your parents. Love is patient. Not your parents' love to you, but your love to your parents. Your love to your parents is patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy what your parents have. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor your parents. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Some of us have a little checklist in our minds of the ways our parents have done us wrong over the years. It's time to take that list and tear it up. Nail it to the cross. Forgive. Love keeps no record of wrongs. This is what honoring our parents could look like. And so some of us need to hit the reset button and start loving our parents like this. Said at the beginning today that there's two sections of these Ten Commandments. And I believe that commandments 1 through 4 are foundational. You can't do commands 5 through 10 without the foundation of commands 1 through 4. Because loving your parents God's way is impossible without God's power. The list I just gave you, obeying, respecting, caring, forgiving, loving, that'll drive a person crazy if you try to live that out without the power of the Spirit. You can't do it. I like what Paul said to the Ephesians. He said, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. He's writing this to believers who have already put their faith in Christ and therefore have already received the Spirit. But he's saying, be filled with the Spirit. How do you do this? You just ask. Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit today so that I can live in a way that honors you? And then I don't necessarily feel a tingling or start shaking my arm or some sort of manifestation. No, it's just a simple prayer. Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit today so that I might honor you in the way that I love my parents? Fill me, Lord, because I can't do this without you. God honors that prayer. So Paul says, be filled with your Spirit, with the Spirit. And then a couple verses later, he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We're filled with his Spirit. We're controlled by his power. And the result then will be the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. But it takes a willingness to submit to someone else's authority, the God-ordained authority, the God-ordained authority that he has put in the family structure. And so we submit to one another, we submit to our parents out of reverence for the King, out of reverence for Christ. So, church, I would encourage you, seek his strength as you look for ways to honor your parents. And it's going to look different for each one of us. And again, for those of you that don't have parents on the earth anymore, pray for us that do. Because our faithfulness, our success as a church will be partially connected to how we love one another as a family. And I know in our congregation there are many, many relationships with parents that are damaged, that are broken, that are in need of healing. Together as the church, we want to experience the blessings of God in obedience to this for his glory. And I'll end with that. So to God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen.